touching someone else. It's satin, this skin. My palms tingle from stroking it. My mouth fits everywhere that I can kiss him. My eyes are adjusting, and I can see the glint in his eye as I take my time, testing every new muscle, tendon, and joint that I encounter. In the dark, I slide my body against his, feeling his size, and I tug him down to lie on me properly. I'm pretty heavy. I'll flatten you. I've had a good life. He laughs, husky and pleased, and obeys me, pressing me down so firmly into the mattress I lose half the air in my lungs. Oh, so good. So heavy. I love it. He kneels up after another minute, because I am gradually dying. I reach down between us and take hold of his intriguing hardness. He lets me fondle and play until his every broken breath convinces me of the fact that he's falling apart at the seams, and it's because of me. I can't think of anything more I could win. But then I feel his mouth against my hip bone, and then he starts kissing my thighs. I have to laugh, both from the tickling of his stubble and the memory of our uniform argument from a lifetime ago. He kisses my thighs in open-mouthed reverence, whispering things I can't properly hear. They feel like they must be complimentary words, the hot breath punctuated with licks, bites, more kisses. I could never withstand the soft pressure of this mouth, and there's no doubting his intention. My legs fall open, and I stare into the dark at the ceiling. The first touch is a swirl, the kind of lick you'd make to the top of a melting ice cream cone. I breathe in so hard I nearly snort, and he kisses my inner thigh, a reward. I can't form any human words. The second is a kiss, and I think of his signature first date kiss. Chaste, soft, no tongue. The promise of everything to come. I hug a pillow and decide he's never going on a first date with anyone, ever again. The third is a kiss again, but it disintegrates from chaste to dirty so slowly, I barely know when it's changed. He's got all the time in the world, and with each minute ticking by, my body simultaneously relaxes and winds tighter. I find my voice and manage to sound crisp and prissy. I don't think there's anything about doing this in the HR manual. I can feel him shiver and groan. Sorry, he tells me. You're right. He doesn't stop, but continues to flaunt the HR regulations for an untold number of minutes. I'm shaking closer and closer to the blinding, personal explosion I feel nearby on the horizon. Frankly, I'm surprised I've lasted this long. I put a hand down and sink my fingers into his hair and tug. I can't handle it. Please, I need more. Way, way more. I slide away, clutching at him, pulling him up by the arm with superhuman strength. He sighs indulgently and kneels up, and I finally hear that magic foil rip. His voice would sound authoritative when he speaks next, except it has a shaky, breathless edge, totally undermining his efforts. I'm finally having you. I'm finally having you, I counter. He drops down, and I'm surprised when the lamp flicks on. Dazzled, I close my eyes, and when I open them, he's looking at me. The black sapphire facets of his eyes are doing strange things to my heart. Hey, shortcake. Our fingers tangle again above my head. The first press he makes is gentle, and my body takes, and then takes some more. He's pressing his temple to mine, making desperate sounds, like he's in pain, like he's trying to live through this. I involuntarily clench, and he jerks forward, hard. My head nearly hits the headboard, and I laugh. Sorry, he says, and I kiss his cheek. Don't apologize. Do it again. Chapter 26. We've never played the staring game with you inside me. His hips flex a little, and my eyelids start to flutter. I was expecting the pleasure and pressure, given that he's huge and I'm small, but it's emotion now, tightening my throat until I can't reply. It's his eyes and the expression in them as he begins to roll his hips, slick and easy. There's no hard impact, no teeth-chattering thuds. He moves against me with measured control. This is the hottest moment of my life. I can't process each sensation. A feeling similar to freaking out is beginning to fill my chest. I can't keep my composure under his eyes. Passionate eyes. Intense, fierce, fearless eyes. He wants me to hand over everything. He won't take anything less from me. Talk to me. He touches my nose with his. His breath is heavy and even. You were right. You fit me somehow. Oh, that's so nice. I can barely speak. I'm freaking out slightly. Nice, huh? He looks at me with amusement. I can always do better than nice. He lets go of my fingertips, slides a hand under each of my thighs, and lifts me a few inches off the bed. Nice is good, nice is good. I babble. My next sound is a groan. Joshua Templeman really, really knows what he's doing. My eyes roll back into my head. I know they do because he smiles a bit and moves his hips again. The blankets fall away, and I'm front row, looking up his gorgeous, flexing muscles to his face. I'm not nice, he tells me. Slowly, we begin to stretch against each other, and it's more rolling friction. I've never felt anything like it. It confirms that no guy I've ever been with has done it right. Until now. He's frowning a little in concentration. It's gotta be the angle he's created so easily that seems to nudge a little switch inside my body. Hey. He hits it again, and the pleasure is so intense a sob catches in my throat. Again and again. I've never played this game before. I have no strength to raise my arms to his shoulders. Every distinct slide of his body into mine is taking me one step closer to something I'm fairly sure will kill me. Are you tired? I try to be considerate, but instead he picks up the pace. Sweat begins to mist my skin. My hands scrabble for purchase on the sheets. If I'm a dead weight, it doesn't seem to bother him. All I can do is press my shoulders against the mattress and try to survive this. I'm dying. I warn him. Josh, I'm dying. Josh lifts one of my ankles to rest on his shoulder. His arm hugs my leg, and he studies my face with interest as he increases his pace further. His eyebrows pinch together. The staring game is the absolute best when Josh is hitting my lifelong, non-existent G-spot. The one that exists now. Holy. Holy. Josh? When he laughs in response, it's nearly my undoing. Here's my problem. This doesn't happen. First sex with someone is awkward, and you take turns and try to work out each other's likes and dislikes. There's no simultaneous wet, dirty screwing and trying to delay your orgasm. But I am, and he knows it. Lucy, quit holding off. I'm not, I protest, but for my lie he increases his force. I babble a thank you. You're welcome, he tells me, and angles me higher. I have no idea how he's not tired. I will write a thank you card to his personal trainer. If my hand can ever grip a pen again, I bite my lip. I can't let this end. I tell him so. Forever. Do this forever, I beg. I'm near tears. Don't stop. Stubborn, aren't you, Shortcake? I can't let this end. Please, Josh. Please. Please, please. He presses his cheek against my calf in such a sweetly affectionate gesture. It won't end, he tells me. I can see he's starting to lose himself a little. His eyes are lit in a bright haze, and I can see him raise them to the ceiling, praying for something. His gorgeous skin is glowing gold in the lamplight. It's a smooth, deep rolling thrust like any of the others, but I break. It's not a sweet, tame thing sweeping over me. My teeth snap together. I grip onto him and wring myself out. The anguished sound I make probably wakes every single person in the hotel, but I can't hold it in. It's violent. I nearly kick him in the jaw, but he grabs my foot and holds on to me. The pleasure boils over, my body twists, squeezes, shakes me out, and I'm out of my mind crazy for Joshua Templeman. He's right. This will not be enough. I need days of this. Weeks. Years. Millions of years. I'm falling. Completely falling, and I look up as he falls too. He leans down against my leg, and I feel him shaking in release. He looks down at me, eyes suddenly shy, and I raise my hand to stroke his cheek. He lowers me down carefully. I can't imagine how I'll let him go. I wrap my arms around his shoulders and press my mouth to his eyebrow, and my chest has a cleaned-out feeling like I've run a few miles. He must feel like he's done a triathlon. He looks up at me. "How you doing?" he whispers softly. "I'm a ghost. I'm dead." "I didn't know I was lethal," he says, and begins to pull away from me, achingly slowly. I beg and plead and say, "No, no, no." I'm an addict, completely hooked, already wanting my next fix while the current one is still running brightly through my veins. My body tries to hold on to him, but he kisses my forehead and apologizes. "I'm sorry. I gotta," he says, and walks away into the bathroom. I watch his backside and drop back into the pillows. Best sex of my entire life. Best backside I have ever seen. "Is that a fact?" he says from the other room. "Seems I said it aloud." I lay my forearm over my eyes and try to regulate my breathing. I feel the mattress dip, and he pulls the blankets up over my chilling skin and turns off the lamp. "Now you're going to be unbearable. But goddamn, Josh, goddamn," I'm slurring. "Goddamn yourself," he says, and I'm tugged into the cradle of his arms. I press my cheek against him, delighting in his sweat. "Let's work out a game plan for when we wake up. I can't handle it if you go weird on me. We'll say good morning politely, then we'll do it again." I sound like I've had a stroke. I fall asleep with my ear pressed to his chest, listening to him laugh. I somehow survive until morning. I'm washing my hands when I glance up at the mirror. Oh, shit.
What?
I open the door a crack. The room is dimly lit by strobes of lights through the heavy curtains. I forgot to take off my makeup. I look like Alice Cooper again. My eye makeup is smudged black, and it makes my eyes look milky blue and lurid.
Again? You've looked like Alice Cooper before?
Yeah, the morning after I was sick. I nearly screamed when I saw myself. I brush my teeth and get my hair into a bun.
I like when you look a little wrecked.
Well, you'd like me right now, then. I'm in the shower, and trying in vain to get the tiny packet of soap open, when I hear the door creak and he's joining me, calmly,
like we do this every day.
Lust electrifies me, the strangest mix of joy and fear.
"It's a shortcake-sized soap,"
he comments, taking it from me and biting the package. He pinches the little coin of soap out and holds it up between his forefinger and thumb.
"I am going to enjoy this."
I am so dazzled by the sight of his velvety gold skin being streaked with water, I can't do anything for a few minutes except stare, my tongue peeking out the corner of my mouth like a hungry dog. The water channels down between each muscle before overflowing and sheening the flat plains. The shading of hair begins in the center of his chest, fanning outward to his nipples and moving downward in a thin line toward his navel. After being bombarded with a million billboards of shiny men in their underwear, I nearly forget men have hair. I follow the water down, the thicker hair, the imposing jut of his erection, all of it wet, beautifully veined, enough to make my knees lose their strength. He was inside me. I need it again. I need it so many times I lose count.
"You are..."
I shake my head.
I have to close my eyes to remember how to speak English. He's too much. I can't have possibly captured this big golden creature inside a glass hotel shower, and he's looking at me with those eyes I love so much. Oh no, I'm hideous, he whispers, mock tragic, and I feel the soap press against my collarbone. It starts to swirl in a little circle, sticky then slick. My personal trainer was so sure this disguise would help with women. What a fucking waste of time and energy. I drag my eyes open, and they must look like I've been in an opium den because he laughs. I press my thumb into the smile line on his cheek. You're gorgeous. Beautiful. I can't believe you. I back away until I'm pressed against the tiles to get a better view, and now it's his turn to look at every wet inch of me. My arms ache with the effort it takes to not cover myself. His perfect muscles make me look very squishy in comparison. His eyes darken as he looks at me from head to toe. Get over here, he says faintly. I take his hand when he holds it out. What a way to start the day. Showering with my colleague and nemesis. As soon as the thought materializes, I know it's so outdated. I can't keep lying to myself. He tugs me away from the freezing tile and faces me toward the spray, rechecking the temperature before he pushes me under. Then he puts his arms around me from behind and gives me what can only be described as a cuddle. I press back firmer against his arousal to feel him groan. How you doing? Not weird? Freaking out? He smooths lather under my breasts, down my ribs. He lifts my arm to inspect it, and we compare hand sizes. No, I'm fine. How come we don't have to worry about you getting weird? Most girls have to worry about guys making up an early morning training session so they can escape. And in this case, it's not implausible. I've been ready for this for a lot longer than you have, he says. He seems to know I don't want to get my hair wet, and turns us a little. His slippery hands coast along my hips. Oh. Yes. How long? A very long time. I never guessed. I'm very secretive. He is gently amused. I capture the soap, which is fast on its way to becoming a translucent sliver. I stick it to my palm, and it gives me a good excuse to stroke over his body, while his tongue licks at the water droplets on my jaw. We look at each other, nose to nose, eyes half shut, and everything spirals out. The edges are nothing but cold air, but underneath this spray we get hotter and hotter, until I'm sure I'm nearly sweating. It's this kiss. The minutes and hours fade away when I'm kissing Josh Templeman. There's no arc of the sun rising into the sky, no emptying hot water tank, no checkout time. He takes his time with me. He's a rare man, achieving the almost impossible. He kisses me into the present moment. It's something I've always had difficulty with in past relationships, turning off my brain. But here it's only us. Our lips find a rhythm, the gentle upswing of a pendulum, dropping away to the lightest curve, again and again, until there's nothing left for me in this world but his body, mine, and the water spilling over us, destined to refill a cloud. He makes words like intimacy seem inadequate. Maybe it's the way he uses his thumb to tilt my face, the other finger splayed behind my ear, into my hair. When I try to gasp a mouthful of air, he breathes it into me. My head rolls to the side, dreamy and heavy, and he cups my jaw. I look up at him, and a starburst of emotion expands inside me. I think he sees it in my eyes, because he smiles. Nothing reminds me of how big his hands are, like having them on my body. He cups my ribs in his palms, then slides up to show me how perfectly I fill his hands. When I can't handle much more, he turns me to the wall, and his fingers splay wings across my shoulder blades. Nails scratch down smoothly, and he's whispering against my neck. He's telling me I'm beautiful. The most delicious strawberry shortcake. I'm the taste he'll never get out of his mouth. And that he wants me to be sure, completely sure, before I make a decision about us. He's licking the water from my shoulders as he eases one broad palm in between my thighs. I feel my foot slide across the tiles an inch. Two. I shiver, and he puts an arm across my collarbones. At the first touch of his fingertip, I hear the sound I make echo around us. He begins to wind me tighter with each gentle circle he draws, and I reach behind me, capturing him in return. Our joint moan creates a cavernous buzz against the tiles. "Give everything to me," he says into my ear. I repeat it back to him. I've got nothing but wet, hot muscle against me, all around me. His mouth nipping at my earlobe, and his strong thrust into my inadequately small hand. He doesn't seem to mind. In fact, he's starting to groan. I've got problems of my own. Like trying to not make so much noise people outside our room can hear me. It's surprisingly difficult, given the heavenly amount of friction he is giving me. "Shush," Josh half laughs. I begin to teeter, and his teeth scrape the nape of my neck. I tighten my grip on him. We both stretch taut and snap at virtually the same moment. This one is an unfurling bloom. His cheek is resting on the tile above me, and we wordlessly look at each other as we shake. It's a strange thing, watching each other come apart. I have a feeling I could get used to this. There's no possible way to adequately end a moment like this. How does one transition back to reality? This hotel room needs a commemorative plaque. Oh, shit. Breakfast is soon. We gotta hurry. I need to pack my bag. Let's skip it. His hands toy with the curve of my waist and hips. Up, down, in, out. Your mom will be waiting. Come on. No, he yells unhappily, and his hands slide up my shoulders. No, I tell him in return, and get out of the shower, evading his hands. I wrap myself in a towel and check the time beside the bed. Come on, 15 minutes. Hurry, hurry. I'll book the room for another day. We can stay for hours. We could live here. Josh, I like your mom. And I don't know if I'm lame for wanting to make her happy, and I don't know if I'll ever see her again after today. I know she misses you. Maybe that's my role in this whole weekend, to force you to be with your family again. How sweet. Forcing me to do things I don't want to. And of course you'll see her again. Fine. Put it this way. I was invited to breakfast, and I'm going. I'm starving. You sexed all of my energy out. You do what you want. I managed to get some mascara on, and half of my top lip done in flamethrower. Then he eases up behind me, and I look at us in the mirror. The differences between us have never been more stark, or more erotic. The contrast of me against his large, muscled glory almost breaks my resolve. He gathers my hair away from the side of my neck and drops his mouth in a kiss. We make eye contact in the mirror, and I let out a broken breath. I want to tell him, yes, rent this room for the rest of our lives. If I had more time, I could make you love me. The realization has me by the throat. I'd have to be blind to not see the light of affection in his eyes as he wraps his arms tighter and begins kissing the side of my neck. I'd have to be 1,000 years old to forget the way he kisses me. It's the fresh new bud of something that could one day be something remarkable, but I have severe doubts that it could survive in the real world. This bubble we're in? It's not reality. I wish it was, and I wish we lived here. All of this I should say out loud to him, but I don't have the courage. I close my eyes. We can have breakfast and then drive back to your apartment at warp speed. Fine. Nice lipstick, by the way. I manage to get the rest done, and I blot once. He takes the tissue before I can scrunch it up. He holds it up to admire it. Like a heart. How about you buy a little white canvas and I'll kiss it for you? Something to remember me by? I give him a cute wink to keep the tone light. The sarcastic rejoinder that I am expecting never eventuates, and instead he turns and walks out of the bathroom. When I come out a few minutes later with my makeup bag under my arm, he's dressed in jeans and a red t-shirt. I've never seen you in red. How come every color in the flippin' rainbow suits you? He puts my cell phone near my purse and the white rose he saved from his lapel. You just think they do. He zips his bag and stands at the window, looking out at the water. I dig in my bag for my own jeans and the black cashmere sweater I'm glad I packed. The air down here is colder, fresher than I'm used to. I'm getting dressed and he's not watching. I hop slightly to get the jeans zipped up, and he doesn't turn. I loudly squirt perfume into my cleavage, and he doesn't even flare a nostril. Breakfast is going to be fine.
Yeah, sure, he says faintly.
I stick my feet into some flats and decide to leave my hair in its big, messy, damp bun. I walk up behind him and hug his waist, resting my cheekbone against the lower curve of his shoulder blade. Tell me what's wrong.
I'm a one-night stand. This is everything I've been trying to avoid. I've been trying to build something, not give you some sense of closure.
No. Hey, how have I made you feel this way? I tug on his elbow until he faces me.
You're constantly talking like it's already over. A lipstick kiss to remember you by? Why am I going to need reminding, exactly?
We're not working together much longer?
I haven't wanted you this long, and gone through so much, and given up so much, to have you for one night. It's not enough.
He's right, of course. The interview result hangs over us like a scythe. A flash of impatience hits me. Can I stay at your place tonight? It's all I can think of to say. Can I sleep in your bed?
I guess. He says sulkily, and I tug him by the loops on his jeans over to his suitcase.
I look back at the bed. How so much could have changed in one space? Maybe he's thinking the same thing. He kisses my eyebrow so gently, I feel tears begin to prick behind my eyes. I catch a glimpse of the receipt when we check out. It was roughly a week's rent for this magical hotel room. He slashes his signature like Zorro onto it and hugs me close. My cheek presses against his perfect pectoral.
And did you have a nice day?
The elegantly groomed receptionist is smiling a little too widely at Josh as she processes the checkout. She seems to be willfully ignoring my presence, or maybe she's just dazzled. I look at her slicked-back blonde coil hairdo. Her chalky pink lipstick is too bright against her tan.
Hotel Barbie.
Yes, thanks, he replies absently. Great water pressure in the shower.
I look up at his face and watch the corner of his mouth quirk, the little smile line deepening. The receptionist is definitely imagining him in the shower. Her eyes stray from bicep to computer screen, screen to his face. She staples and folds and searches for the perfect little envelope for his receipt, even though the customer at the next counter didn't get one. She fiddles and does a dozen other little things so she can look at little segments of him. She tells him about their loyalty program and how his next check-in will be with a free bottle of wine, and probably her draped across his bed. She reconfirms his address and phone number. I'm gimlet-eyed with annoyance. He doesn't notice and begins kissing my temple. Who can blame her, though? A man built like this, with a face like this, being so ridiculously sweet and tender? I die a little, too, watching this, and I'm the one on the receiving end. It's like seeing a bruised nightclub bouncer cuddling a tutu-clad toddler, or a cage fighter blowing a kiss to his sweetheart in the front row. Brute, raw masculinity, contrasted with gentleness, is the most attractive thing on earth. Josh is the most attractive thing on earth. I watch her eyes harden speculatively as she glances at me. I spread my hand across his chest. It says, mine. The tiny jealous cavewoman in me can't resist.
Shall we bring your car?
Yes, Josh says at the same moment I say, no. No, we're having breakfast. Can we leave our bags here?
Of course.
She checks Josh's bare left hand. My bare left hand.
Thank you, Mr. Templeman.
I need a fake wedding band on you if we ever came back, I grumble as we walk through the lobby to the restaurant. Josh nearly trips over his own foot.
Why on earth would you say that?
We walk past the ballroom, and I can see cleaners taking down the huge bunches of Mindy pink balloons. The receptionist wanted to jump on you? I can't blame her, but sheesh. I was standing right there. What am I, invisible?
Josh looks at me sideways.
How primal.
We push through the glass double doors, and he pulls me to one side. I crane around the doorframe. I can see his family. I raise my hand to wave, but he tugs me back and scolds me unintelligibly.
It's a buffet.
My delight is evident in my voice.
Look at those croissants, plain and chocolate.
Quick, there's not many left.
I am going to appeal to you one last time. Let's just go. Things went pretty well yesterday, family-wise. Let's cut our losses.
And what? Screech out of here like Thelma and Louise?
They all loved you.
I'm immensely lovable.
Josh, come on.
Croissants?
I'm here with you. No one will hurt you as long as I'm here.
I've got my invisible paintball gun.
Take me in there, feed me pastry, and then drive me back to your pretty blue bedroom.
He presses a little kiss to my lips. I look over my shoulder at the reception desk.
Come on, be brave. Forget about your dad and focus on your mom. Be a gentleman.
I'm going in.
I weave through the room, and I have no idea if he's following. If he's not, this is going to be a little awkward.
Chapter 27. At the table by the window sits Elaine and Anthony, and Mindy and Patrick. Everyone stops talking when I approach. I wave like a dork. Everyone looks surprised.
Hi.
Lucy, hello.
Elaine recovers first and looks at the table.
Oh, there are no spare chairs. We're barely 5 minutes late.
They clearly weren't expecting us to turn up. Josh is dawdling, thankfully.
Quick, quick. I start looking around at other tables. More chairs, Elaine gasps.
She understands perfectly. If he walks over here and there are no seats for us, he'll shrivel up.
Anthony sits at the daddy end of the table and continues reading his folded-up newspaper.
No, wait. Medical journal.
Jeez.
He makes no indication he's aware of any other people in the room. There's a great deal of shuffling, and I manage to borrow spare chairs from a nearby table. By the time Josh arrives with a plate of croissants and a cup of tea, we're all sitting as casually as we can, trying to slide the plates back in front of their original owners.
Good morning,
everyone chimes.
Hi,
he says cautiously, and puts the plate and tea in front of me.
I got you the last ones.
It's a plate filled with croissants and strawberries. He strokes his hand down the side of my neck.
Sweet of you. Thanks.
I'll just get something, he says, and retreats. Elaine watches him, part sad, part amused, and looks at Anthony. I smile at Mindy to show I'm not upset anymore. I probably have a nuclear post-orgasmic glow. She tentatively smiles back.
How do you feel, Mrs. Templeman?
I didn't put too much thought into the question, but the words Mrs. Templeman make her physically jolt.
Maybe I'm exceptionally empathetic, but I feel like I've dropped a bombshell.
The words ring in my ears, off the walls, right through my bones.
Mrs. Templeman, how primal indeed.
Wrecked. I'm so tired I feel like I'm dreaming, but in a good way. She breaks into a smile and looks at the tablecloth.
Mrs. Templeman, it sounds so...
She covers her face with her hands and sighs and laughs and dorks.
Get out of my head, Mindy.
Sorry, we took a smaller table, Elaine begins, but I shake my head.
It's okay.
I had to use my lasso to get him down here. I mime swinging a rope over my head and the women burst out laughing. The men sit silently, reading and eating. I can imagine it. Little cowgirl dragging him behind her, bucking and snorting. I don't know why he makes such a big deal of everything, Patrick interjects mildly, taking a quick, wincing mouthful of his coffee. I have a feeling he's always so busy he eats all of his meals in painful, scalding gulps and swallows. Maybe it's a doctor thing. Ingest the fuel rather than enjoy it. He's shy. Leave him alone. Patrick frowns at my kid sister impudence and then laughs. He glances at Josh. Shy, huh? I can see the realization dawning across his face, like it did mine yesterday. Shyness takes so many different forms. Some people are shy and soft, some shy and hard. Or in Josh's case, shy and wrapped in military-grade armor. Josh, Lucy, thank you for the gift, Mindy says when Josh takes his seat. She catches my eye and smiles, clearly thinking I chose it. I never did see what he ended up choosing. I take a huge bite of croissant. He's got one arm across the back of my chair, his warm hands spread across my shoulder. The most beautiful set of Waterford crystal champagne glasses, engraved with our initials, and two bottles of Moët. Good job, Josh. The wedding was nice, Josh tells her. I look at his eyes as they assess each other. It's probably the first time they've faced each other since the breakup. I almost quiver with concentration, trying to detect any residual heartbreak, lust, resentment, loneliness. If I had whiskers, they would be twitching. Thanks, Mindy replies. She looks at her wedding ring again, and then at Patrick with such helpless devotion, I look at Josh sharply. If ever he was going to react badly, it would be now. He smiles, looks at his plate, and then looks at me. He kisses my temple, and I'm convinced. How have you kept Lucy a secret from us all? Mindy says as she cuts her grapefruit. Oh, you know, I keep her in my basement. It's not as bad as it sounds. He's made it comfy down there. Everyone laughs, except Anthony, naturally. I have a refreshing realization. I'm not trying. It explains why I'm so comfortable sitting here, eating with strangers. If they like me, fine. If not, I can live. But I feel the same relaxed, slouchy feeling I get when sitting with my family. If I tilt my head just right, I can't see Anthony at all. Mindy lists some of the other gifts they received. Patrick's new gold band winks in the pale sunshine filtering in through the clouds, and he occasionally curls his thumb in to touch it. Mindy watches him, tenderness in her eyes. Josh's breakfast is two poached eggs, a slice of wheat toast, and a heap of wilted spinach. He drinks his coffee in two swallows. I look at my own plate and pinch my stomach under the table. His body is a temple. Mine will be a hut made of butter at this rate. More coffee? I get up and decide to bring myself back some more fruit. I can't just sit there eating pastry. He snags my wrist and looks up at me. Stay, his eyes tell me. I pat him kindly, and he reluctantly relinquishes his mug. I'll be right back. Anyone else? I take my time fiddling with the coffee machine. Everything's a little stilted, and it does occur to me that I'm essentially an intruder. I'm the only one at the table who's not a templeman. As I struggle with the long plastic tongs to get another slice of watermelon, I am dimly aware of sharp tones. I'm piling my plate with a bunch of grapes when realization dawns. Oh, shit. I hurry back to the table and put down my plate and Josh's mug. Mindy is frozen, eyes frightened, and Patrick looks resigned. But what I want to know is, why would you throw away pre-med? Any monkey can get an MBA. Anthony has laid aside his breakfast reading and is staring down Josh, gimlet-eyed. Seriously, I was away from the table for maybe 2 minutes. How did this escalate so quickly? I suppose a nuclear bomb has one red button, and that doesn't take long to press. I put my hand on the back of Josh's neck, like I'm holding an attack dog by the collar.
For fuck's sake. If you knew anything about it, you'd know it's almost impossible to complete an executive MBA while working full-time. And I did it. And I was in the top 2%. I got 4 job offers, and 2 of those companies still call me.
I'm surprised you finished it, if it was so hard, Anthony says. I thought your favorite hobby was quitting.
Hey, I blurt. I'm still standing, and I realize I have a hand on my hip.
Lucy, they're just... Elaine is unsure of what to do.
Maybe you should talk to Josh outside, Anthony.
People at nearby tables are all sitting with cutlery lowered in various stages of avid interest or awkward avoidance.
Josh laughs meanly.
Why? So we can have a good old-fashioned fistfight? He'd just love that.
Anthony rolls his eyes.
You need to...
Toughen up? Is that what you're about to say to me? What you've said to me for as long as I've been alive?
Josh glances up at me in exasperation.
Now, can we go?
I think maybe you should talk this out. Another 5 years might go by.
She's one of those touchy-feely types, Anthony says to Elaine.
Fantastic.
Josh's eyes narrow dangerously.
Don't talk about her.
Well, she can't resist bringing herself into it.
Be quiet, Elaine says to Anthony.
She's furious.
All I asked was for you to be civil. Keep your mouth shut.
I look at Anthony, and he looks at me. His eyes are full of derision as he runs his eyes from the top of my head down. Then he sniffs and looks out the window, obeying his wife, mouth pursed shut.
Oh, boy. I'm not putting up with this twice in my life, and certainly not from another Templeman.
My temper snaps.
Your son is incredibly talented, focused, ridiculously intelligent. He is instrumental in keeping a publishing house running.
What? Licking stamps? Answering phones?
We lock eyes. I bark a laugh.
Is that seriously what you think he does?
I'm not going to sit here and be spoken to like this by you, young woman. I've seen his email signature block. Assistant to the CEO.
I don't know who you think you are.
He's attempting to reestablish his authority. Maybe I'll sit down and be a good little girl.
Josh's instinct to protect me is making him rise up out of his chair, but I wave him back.
I got this.
I'm the person who knows your own offspring better than you do. He's the person the finance and sales divisions report to. They're scared fucking shitless of him. I once had a 45-year-old man beg me in the hall outside the boardroom to pass on the documents so he wouldn't have to attend. I've seen entire teams scurrying like ants, double-checking, triple-checking their figures. Even then, Josh will always find the mistake. Then usually someone takes a stress day.
Anthony begins to bluster something, but I cut him off. I'm so worked up I could strangle him.
Honestly, I could wrap my hands around his neck and squeeze.
I am Lara Croft. Guns raised, eyes blazing with retribution.
The reason Bexley Books didn't completely implode before the merger is Josh recommended that their workforce be reduced by 35%. I've hated him for it. It was cold-blooded.
And he can be, you have no idea.
But it meant another 120 people kept their jobs, paid their mortgages. So don't you dare try to make out like he's nothing.
Oh, and I know for a fact Josh was integral in the merger negotiations. One of the corporate lawyers told me in the kitchen he was, quote, a fucking hard ass.
I can't seem to stop. It's like I'm purging something.
His boss, who's the co-CEO in title only, is a fat, sleazy toad so out of his mind on prescriptions he can barely tie a shoelace. Josh is who keeps it all running. Both of us do.
I look at them all. Josh is digging his fingers into the waistband of my jeans.
I'm sorry I'm making a scene, and I like all of you.
Except you.
I cut a look at Anthony. I spend more time with him than anyone, and I have to tell you, you don't know what you've got. You've got Josh. He's an awkward, difficult asshole. I hate him almost half the time, and he drives me mental, and it's clearly hereditary. You gave me the exact same look Josh first did when I met him. Top to bottom, out the window. You know everything about me? You know everything about him? I don't think so. I have been trying to give him a boost. Some people need a push, Anthony says. You can't have it both ways. You can't completely neglect him, yet trash his choices. Anthony raises a hand to his brow and rubs it like he's getting a headache. My father pushed my younger brother. And how did he enjoy that? His eyes flick sideways. Not too much, I'm guessing. He's not a doctor. Deal with it. Anthony goggles at me. But I want you to know something. He could be, if he wanted to. He could be anything he fucking wanted to. Nothing is by mistake. Nothing is because he's not good enough. It's his choice. I sit down in a huff. Mindy and Patrick look at each other, mouths open. Hell, the entire room is sitting with their mouths open. I hear someone start to clap, then hastily stop. I'm sorry, Elaine. I take a huge mouthful of tea, nearly spilling it down my top. My hands are shaking. Don't apologize for defending him like that, she says faintly. I suppose what she means by like that is like a rabid lioness. I find the courage to look at Josh. He looks completely shell-shocked. Anthony trails off, and I level my best stare on him. The same withering, emotionless glare I've given his son a thousand times before. He clears his throat and looks at his cutlery. Yes, Dr. Templeman. Care to share? My audacity is breathtaking. I don't know much about your work, Josh. Everyone's jaw drops even further. Mine doesn't. I will never give him the satisfaction. I stare into his eyes and mentally twist a rusty fish knife into his gut. I raise an eyebrow. I'd be interested in talking to you more about it, Josh. I interject. Now that you know he's successful? Now you know that he'll almost certainly be promoted to chief operating officer of a major publishing house? You've got something to tell your buddies at golf now. Squash. Patrick tells me in an aside, he plays squash. I have given Anthony the dressing down of a lifetime. He is unable to speak. It is wonderful. You should love him and be proud of him even if he's in the mailroom, even if he were unemployed and crazy and living under a bridge. We're leaving now. Elaine, it was a pleasure. I loved meeting you. Mindy, Patrick, congratulations again and enjoy your honeymoon. Sorry I made a scene just now. Anthony, it's been real. I stand up. Now, we screech out of here like Thelma and Louise. Josh stands and goes to kiss his mother's cheek. She grasps helplessly at his wrist. But when will I see you? She looks up at Josh, but she also looks to me. I can see Josh's jaw tightening, and I can almost hear the excuses forming on his tongue. He might drop off the radar for the Templeman family altogether. The next thing I say surprises even me, especially given the fact I've essentially just said goodbye to them all for the last time. If you can come up to the city soon, we could meet you for lunch. We could go see a movie after. Anthony, you're invited too. His jaw, which has been hinging loosely, sways in the breeze. But only if you're prepared to be civil and start to get to know your son again. I think you know there's going to be no more ragging on Josh, except by me, because he loves it. You and I are going to have a discussion, outside, now. Elaine gets to her feet and points to a French door leading to the side gardens. Anthony looks like a man walking to the gallows. I know a fellow rabid lioness when I see her. I take Josh's hand, and we weave through our spellbound audience. No charge, the cashier tells me. Lady, that was better than theater. I retrieve our bags from the receptionist, thankfully not the lustful blonde this time. I probably would have roundhouse kicked her head off. Walking together, matching our footfalls, we exit the lobby like two television district attorneys gunning for justice. I ask the valet for our car and turn.
Okay. Let me have it.
I just made an incredibly embarrassing scene. I can see people talking about me as they wait for their taxis. I'm going to star in 20 different retellings of that restaurant incident.
Josh picks me up off the ground.
Thank you, he tells me.
Thank you so much.
When we kiss, I hear some applause.
You're not mad I rescued you?
Boys don't need rescuing.
This one did.
And I'll even let you choose which you want to be. Thelma or Louise, he tells me, setting me on my feet as the car arrives.
You're the good-looking one. I guess you're Thelma.
He slides the driver's seat back. We drive about half a block before Josh bursts out laughing.
You told my dad it had been real.
Like I was a bad TV scriptwriter who thought that's how kids talk?
Exactly. It was so priceless.
He wipes a tear away with his thumb. I feel bad about your mom, though. She looked so completely stricken.
Don't you worry. She is going to kick the shit out of him for that.
I have no doubt. It's why she and I get along so well. He thinks for a few moments while driving.
I don't know how I can move on from this, with my dad.
Nothing's insurmountable. I try to believe my own words. I roll down the window a little so the breeze is on my face. The sun is warming my legs and Josh is smiling again. I do not even let myself think about how it is all going to end. If the drive normally takes 5 hours, I swear Josh cuts it down to 3. But the hours mean nothing to us as we wind through the countryside, leaving the sea salt wind behind us. The memory is lit by the sun through the trees we drive through, nothing but lemons and copper tones scattering across our arms, lighting our eyes up blue. His sapphire, mine turquoise. I see my face in the car's side mirror, and I barely recognize myself. I've changed. I'm someone new today. Today is a momentous day. I'll always remember the drive home as a movie montage, and I knew I was in one. Each detail was vividly bright. I knew I'd need the memories one day. This montage is directed by someone French. A convertible would have been their preference, but the windows are down, so that's something. The air is unseasonably warm and scented like honeysuckle and cut grass. The montage stars this pretty girl, flamethrower red mouth, smiling over at a beautiful man. He's looking so achingly cool in his sunglasses, you immediately buy a pair for yourself. He lifts her hand to his mouth and kisses it, tells her something charming and makes her laugh. It's the sort of moment you want to hit pause on and buy whatever it is they're selling. Happiness, a better life, red lipstick and those sunglasses. The soundtrack should be a lilting indie affair, equal parts hopeful and with a broken, bittersweet lyric hook that makes your heart hurt for some unknown reason. But instead, it's scored by the 1980s hair metal I found in an incriminating iPod playlist titled Gym.
You seriously got those abs while listening to Poison and Bon Jovi?
I crow, and he can't deny it. It's just us. Windows down, stereo cranked, the road curling in front of us like a tongue. We sing along. The lyrics for songs I haven't heard in years fall out of my mouth. His fingers drum the steering wheel. Life right now is easier than breathing. We never stop the car. It's like if we stop, even for a rest break, reality will catch us. We're bank robbers, kids running away from boarding school, eloping teenage sweethearts. There's a bottle of water in my bag and Josh's tin of mints. We share, and it's better than a banquet. I will eventually confess to myself why this montage means so much. I could try to believe it was because of Monday morning looming and the one prize dangling above two worthy recipients. Maybe it was because of how alive I felt, so completely young and filled to bursting with the scary, thrilling certainty my life was about to change in a big way. Possibly, It was the thrill of sticking it to the man and the heady rush of standing up to someone terrifying. The thrill of rescuing someone. Being the strong one. Carrying someone. Coddling and protecting. Defending like a lioness. Maybe it was the smell of spring in the air. The field of four-leaf clovers we pass. Red roses against a fence. Leather seats and Josh's skin. No, it was something else. The new knowledge of something irreversible, permanent. It cycled through my head with each revolution of the car's wheels, each pulse of blood in my frail, whisper-thin veins. At any moment, a tiny valve could buckle under the pressure of the cholesterol from my croissants. At any moment, I could die. But I don't. I fall asleep, my cheek against the warm seat, my face turned toward him, like it always has been. Like it always will. I open my eyes a tiny crack. We're in a parking garage. "We're home," he says. I think the unthinkable. I should have been thinking it all along. My eyes slide closed and I feign sleep. "You need to wake up," he whispers. A kiss on my cheek. A miracle. I love Joshua Templeman. Chapter 28. We walk into his apartment, and he puts my overnight bag with his in the bedroom. Like I am returning home. I use the bathroom, and when I come out, he's making me a cup of tea with the concentration of a scientist. He takes one look at my face. "Oh no. Don't tell me." My stomach drops out of my body, and I grip the edge of the counter. He knows. He's a mind reader. My eyes are love hearts. "You're completely freaking out," he states flatly. I can't do anything but make awkward eye slides and lip nibbles. I look at his front door. I can't get past him. He'll be too quick. "No chance. Get on the couch," he scolds. "Get. Go on." I slip my shoes off and go, and scrunch myself in a ball on his couch, hugging the ribbon cushion. He's right. I am completely freaking out. It's the mother of all freakouts. I've completely lost my voice. I talk to myself in the privacy of my head. "You love him. You love him. You always have. More than you've ever hated him. Every day, staring at this man, knowing every color and expression and nuance. Every game you've ever played has been to engage with him. Talk to him. Feel his eyes on you. To try to make him notice you." "I'm such an idiot," I breathe. I open my eyes and nearly scream. He's standing over me with a mug and a plate. "I simply can't condone this level of freakout," he says, and gives me a sandwich. He puts the mug on the coffee table. He disappears for a minute, then comes back with my gray fleecy blanket. It's like he knows I've had some kind of shock. He tucks me in on all sides, brings me an extra pillow. Who knows what my face looks like? I avoided looking at myself in the bathroom. My teeth begin to chatter, and I reach for what is quite a good-looking sandwich. No shoddy workmanship here. It's even cut in half diagonally. My favorite. I chew like a chipmunk, using my tiny, prehensile paws to rip off the crust. I've got bright, shifty button eyes and puffed-up cheeks. "You have not said a word to me since I woke you up. You look shell-shocked. Your hands are shaking. Low blood sugar? Bad dreams? Carsick?" He discards his plate, his sandwich untouched. "You're still tired. You have stomach pains." Josh begins to rub my feet through the blanket. When he speaks again, it's so low I can barely hear. "You've realized what a mistake you've made, being with me." "No!" I blurt through my mouthful. I close my eyes. The worried line on his brow is killing me. "No." I feel terrible. I'm ruining what was the beautiful bubble of energy from our drive home. "Today is Sunday," I respond after a lot of deliberation.
Tomorrow is Monday, he returns.
We both sip from our mugs. The staring game has commenced, and I am welling up with questions I am dying to ask, but I have no idea how to go about it.
Truth or dare, he says. He always knows the exact right thing to say.
Dare.
Coward. Okay, I dare you.